You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
This is The Leonard Lopate Show on New York Public Radio, and this is not Leonard Lopate. I'm your guest host, Chris Walken, as Leonard wanted the day off. Jacques d'Amboise, my old friend from the old days, is here. And even while he was still a principal dancer with the New York City Ballet, he founded the National Dance Institute back in 1976. Joining me here today is Alex Shimizu, who's a student with the National Dance Institute, and unexpected guest, Eddie Izzard. Thank you all for coming.
Chris, great to be here again with you.
I've got to say on my behalf, I must be the worst dancer in the room. That's got to be just as a standard thing. But I have done one lesson of ballet in my life.
Well, we're going to test you out right after the radio program.
I'm a tap dancer.
You're a fabulous tap dancer. Yeah. And I just called my office and I said I want a whole bunch of pennies from heaven. Because when you get up and dance there, it's world class.
You know, really, this is for Alex, because you started dancing very young. When I grew up in Queens, it was typical to send your children to dancing school on Saturday. It wasn't anything special. The boys took tap and acrobatics, and the girls took ballet and acrobatics. But I don't think people do that much anymore.
I didn't know they did it then.
Oh, yeah. This is the 50s.
I thought I was the only one.
No, but you were...
on my block, I thought I was the only one.
Madame Seder.
Madame Seder. Yeah, she's gone now. She was an Armenian.
White Plains?
181st and St. Nicholas Avenue. She had a school. She was great. Oh, and she made all the costumes of tiara for every boy as a prince. She sewn it in passionate colors.
Yeah, yeah.
She was great.
Mine was Miss Krimmel.
Miss Krimmel?
Miss Krimmel. She had a school, and she did a recital every year, and also the costumes. And
yeah, those are great people.
But I'm not sure that kids send their kids to dancing school the way they used to. I grew up in Astoria in Queens, where a lot of the policemen come from. I have this theory that probably a lot of retired cops my age can tap dance.
Miss Crimmin was pretty powerful.
She was.
She probably ran the whole
She would beat us up if we did anything wrong.
Yeah. Big Mama of Astoria.
And Jacques, what about the National Dance Institute?
It's an organization to introduce children to the arts using dance as a catalyst. And in school, during school, is its primary purpose and function. And there's 13 of them in the United States already. And millions of children have been through it. And Alex is my star pupil at the moment, although he's hit 15, so he's alumni. We kick him out at 15.
15 is when you joined the New York City Ballet.
Yeah.
And yeah. So you kind of grew up with George Balanchine.
Actually, I was not yet 9, and he choreographed for me Puck in Midsummer Night's Dream. I can remember the steps. And Tanaki Leclerc, who he later married, was one of the nymphs. She was 12 or 13. And, yeah, I was just reading a book by Gilbert Hyatt, who's long gone. And it was about – he said a wonderful thing, hang around with great minds.
Yeah.
He said, hang around. And you know, he said, with books, you can pick any country at any time and go visit it, whether it's Marcus Aurelius or whether it's a Chinese Ming dynasty or whatever. Find out who are the great minds and meet them. And I realized at 9 years old, Stravinsky conducting, Cecil Beaton putting on my makeup, Balanchine choreographing me, Maria Tolchief sharing – I was sharing the stage with such great dancers. And unbeknownst, I was hanging around with great people.
Yeah.
Blessed.
And in fact, Balanchine choreographed more ballets for you.
Yeah.
More ballets
I was in more
for
ballets.
You than anyone else.
And
it's amazing.
And I did a lot of them I never premiered because I was so spoiled. I'd go off and do a television show or a movie, and I'd say, oh, Mr. B, sorry, I can't do the premiere. I'm going to do a movie, or I'm
I'm reading a book about the, or finished the book about Diaghilev, and, you know, the people, Stravinsky and
all those
Picasso,
people.
And right. And Balanchine is there. It covers such a vast span of...
There's a woman who, this book is coming out. Her name is Jennifer Homans, and the book is called Apollo's Angels, and it'll come out soon, I think, Random House. And I got an early copy, and I think it's the best book on ballet I ever read, and I can't imagine in the history of, it's the history of classical ballet, that there'll ever be anything to equal it. It's right up on Mount Everest. Where can you go? Hmm. It's fabulous. And I'm, you know, I've read a lot of classics, not everything, but I'm reading this, and I'm discovering everything, and I think, how lucky I was to be a dancer. Fantastic luck.
Yeah.
You feel the same about acting?
I do. I became an actor kind of by accident. You know, I was a show dancer. Did you ever do a Broadway?
Yeah. Yeah. I was in a show. I did two. One I choreographed was Thurber's Carnival, and then the other one was Shinbone Alley, which was a precursor to Cats, and it was terrific. Eddie Bracken a wonderful black singer, dancer, wonderful, just gone now. I can't believe it. Anyway, it was George Irving was, it was fabulous. George Kleinsinger wrote the music, and it was really great. And but I really realized that ballet, classical ballet, was my place. And I don't know about Eddie over here, but how did you get started?
Well, dance, what did I get into dance? I think I won. My mother was a singer, actually. My mother was a singer in amateur dramatics, and she played, we had pantomimes in Britain, and I was born in Yemen, and I've got pictures of her, because she died when I was six, so I gone back to find my mother's background. So I know that she was a singer from beforehand. I've never quite used that, but I wanted to dance, because it's kind of, well, there's kind of ballet tends to be put into a certain area. You know, that Billy Elliot whole story that if you're a boy's boy kind of thing, that you can't do ballet. Well, I was a transvestite, but straight transvestite. So, but I couldn't tell anyone that I would like to do ballet. And actually, ballet isn't really my thing. But that some of that more street dancing, that's really up my street. So I did jazz dance, whatever jazz dance really is. I did 6 months of that at Pineapple. And it was just mainly girls and me, and I thought, this is great. This is perfect as a straight transvestite. And I did one, my teacher took me on one ballet lesson. I wasn't, you know, I just couldn't understand the feet bit. The feet bit just
ballet is
blows
hard.
My mind. Yeah, it just
Listen,
looks...
if you get a chance, Pennies from Heaven,
right.
You're going to see Chris dance beyond belief.
Tap is different. Somebody said that a tap dancer is kind of a drummer with their feet.
Yeah,
there is that to it. But ballet is very, you know, to do ballet well.
Chris, when you dance, you're more like Fred Astaire, which is light and up in the air. You're not down like Savio and Grover. They're really down low. They're heavy. But Fred Astaire was tiptoeing, floating. And on that bar, I never forget you. You were amazing.
Somebody said that
and when now can you get up and tap dance for
no,
us?
No, but I can still tap dance a little. Somebody said that when you can't walk anymore, you dance.
Oh, that's good. All right. Well, I can't dance. I can't walk, but I can dance still. That's
Chris,
interesting.
Was it fun to do the Fat Boy Slim?
Oh, yeah.
Spike Jonze.
Absolutely.
Because that's great. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. Weapon of Choice, right?
Yes.
Love that.
Now, Alex, wait till you see him dance. You know, I was a very good jumper. I mean, as a teenager, I could run and jump over a car. I'm not joking. Wow. He can. Alex is a phenomenal elevation.
I never would have started, though, without NDI. I mean.
Well, I don't know.
How old were you when you started?
I think nine years old.
Wow.
But the thing was that I always thought before NDI that NDI was, or dancing in particular, was for girls. And, you know, boys didn't do that. I was into sports and baseball, football, all that type of things. But once NDI came along, you realize how important athletic ability is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
When you're jumping, when you're spinning.
Well, a wonderful dancer is really a fantastic athlete.
Mm.
How did you get the bug?
The bug. The first day of dancing, actually, with NDI, it was at
my
school.
Did you see something, a movie?
No, but the first thing they made us do was we would run across the stage as fast as we could, and we jump as high as we can. And I just thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And I practiced that in my room, like, every day when I wasn't at NDI. And then eventually, I just felt so free. Jumping and dancing.
And the combination with the music. Somebody said to me once when I was a dancer that a good dancer makes the music happen. That a good dancer is always a little bit ahead of the beat. What do you think, Sean?
I think it absolutely wrong.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why. Wait a minute. I'll tell you why. It drives me crazy because I see these ballerinas and they're always a little ahead of the music. And they forget. Your eye sees a lot faster than your ear. So let the music happen and react to it very quickly. Don't try to go ahead of the music. Don't even be right on the beat. Be slightly after. A couple of hundred feet away, you're right with it because your eye sees at the speed of light, 186-something thousand miles a second. But the ear is much slower. So when you're at the back of the house and someone is right with the sound, they move slightly. You see them move before you hear it. It's much better to let the sound come, and then you see it, or it's even a little late.
You have to be very, very good to do that, Jacques.
Well, we're supposed to be. Otherwise, don't get on the stage. You better. I don't want to see anybody that you feel sorry for.
That's a very high level.
And that's true of acting. You don't want to see someone, thank God, I can't stand that.
Another dancer said, never jump as high as you can.
Who said that?
I don't know. But that is always, you know,
well,
keep a little bit.
No, of course not. That's like saying, Balanchine knows you're saying, what are you saving it for when you're 80 and you can't move? Now. Everything now and everything. And I always think each performance, I don't know how you do, but every time I'd go on stage, I'd think this is opening night and it's closing night because I don't know if I'll dance tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You have no idea. You could get injured. I don't know what. A bomb blow up. Hopefully it never happens here again. But anyway, every performance is your closing night as well as your opening. And are you going to hold back? Are you going to say, oh, I'll save myself. I'll save a little energy.
I would totally agree with that. You've got a great American phrase, leave it all out there on the pitch. Is that how it goes?
On the pitch.
On the pitch, what?
I don't think it's the pitch.
Leave it out there somewhere.
Floor, maybe?
Yeah, well, just stage leave. Out, yeah. Basically, the idea of just do it all and so you walk off with nothing left in you, which is what I try to do, I think.
We're going to see you tonight.
Yeah, you're going to see it
we're
tonight.
We're going to go see. When I found out he's performing, I'm in a race, and it's closing this week, so I don't want to miss it. So I said to everybody in the room, come on, I'll treat you. We're going tonight.
And Richard Thomas is in it, of course.
Richard Thomas.
Knew his parents. Knew his parents when they were.
They both were in New York City Ballet.
And Richard was a dancer.
Well, he not really. His father, Richard Thomas, and his mother were both in New York City Ballet, and he was a little boy. He grew up. But he must have taken did his pliés and held on to the bar, not the drinking kind. but he went into theater right seven years old performing. And yeah, I don't remember ever seeing him dance.
What's it like to have Balanchine make a ballet for you? Did he
he was terrific.
But did he, was there something, did, was there anything, you know, introspective about it, talking about you?
No, not at all. That's Jerome Robbins would do that. Jerry Robbins would do that. He'd tell you what you have to think before you make an entrance. But Balanchine would come in, and he would know the music. Usually he would have taken the orchestral score and made the piano score from it. We used his piano breakdowns of the score. He knew its bones. And he would come in and he would have an idea, a picture, but not the steps. The steps he would invent on you.
Yeah.
Right there. He wouldn't come
preconceived. So it had to do with who he was working with. It was all organic. Somebody said to me once that if you're a director and you're directing Hamlet and you find out that the actor playing Hamlet plays the saxophone, have Hamlet play the saxophone. That in other words, use...
Use what they can do.
Yeah. Do you feel that that happens in dance?
Jerry would do that.
Or stuff that you're especially good at and so forth?
I think what Balanchine would do, he would look at you and he would expect of you more than you could realize you could do. He would get up and he would vaguely make up a step and he'd look at you and you would do it. And if you couldn't do it, he would change it for you. But basically, he built the dance on the way you move. But he himself would show you. He would get up and he'd say, well, you do this and, you know, maybe now here you do this and now you do turn here somehow. And then it'd let you interpret it.
Well, was he a good dancer?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And what about Robbins? Was he a good dancer?
Yes, yeah? Both terrific.
Well, they were actually both professional. Robbins was in a lot of shows.
Well, yeah. Balanchine was a dancer with Diaghilev. That's how he got started. Yeah. And I both me and Maria Tolchev and others dancers said, if you want to know how to do the role, just watch the way Balanchine did it when he showed it to you.
Yeah,
and copy him.
I worked with Michael Bennett a few times, and he was actually better than anybody who did his steps.
Jack Cole, too.
Yeah, Jack Cole.
Jack Cole.
Sure.
Yeah, great people. So what did you do with Bennett?
West Side Story. I was 18. If he was alive, we'd be the same age. I was 18. He was 18. He'd just come from Buffalo. And we were doing a summer stock production of West Side Story. They didn't want to pay Jerry Robbins his fee. So Michael Bennett re-choreographed the whole show. In those days, they would put on a musical in 8 days. He did that in 8 days, you know. So it was obvious even then that he was remarkable.
Wow, 8 days to put on a musical.
They'd put on a musical, scenes, dances, everything.
This is like summer stock.
Summer stock.
Oh, yeah.
This
and
would
then,
have been 40, you know,
yeah,
40
that's the
five
best.
Years
and
ago.
As you're doing that, you're learning the next week, you do maybe eight musicals over a summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
sure.
This is something David Mamet said. He's links to it. He said that if you have 1 week to rehearse, if you have summer stock 8 days, you will get it on in 8 days. If you have 3 weeks, you will take 3 weeks and feel like you need 3 weeks. If you take 5 weeks, you will take 5 weeks and feel like you need 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
No, absolutely. It's Sullivan's Law or something.
Yeah, yeah. You do it
as fast as you have to.
No, it's not Sullivan's Law. It's the dressing room syndrome. You come in and there are four of you in this tiny room to do a – you're sharing a dressing room. So you take your little corner and you manage to survive. Now you come in and there's four of you, but they're using the chorus room where there's 40, 50 dressing room
and
things. Well, if you're there long enough, you will have something in every – you'll have one shoe here, your makeup here, your coat over here.
And sometimes that's best.
You just take over whatever space.
And exciting things happen, like today. You know, Eddie showed up and we – but it's fascinating how sometimes throwing a little something into the mix and
– I would totally agree with that. Accidents, great.
Absolutely.
Grab on the accidents.
Serendipitous accidents.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it creates a diagonal, doesn't it? I call them diagonals, things that come through that you're not expecting because you're here to talk about dance and I've come from a weird background, but I have had one dance lesson.
You call it diagonal?
Yeah, I see it as a diagonal. If you have a direct way of doing a scene or a character, if you have a diagonal through them, you know, other actors or other creative people have a different thing in it, but I just call it
Now, I remember Chris telling me, I don't know if I'm wrong, that you take a script and the first thing you do is you mark out, it'll say, actor stands as he says.
Oh, absolutely.
Just get rid of all the directions.
And punctuation.
And the punctuation. Right. That's right. I forgot about the punctuation.
Yeah.
And I think that's great.
So you get rid of it all?
I did. I do, you know, pauses, punctuation. If it's a question mark, I'm almost the, I'll almost always make it a statement.
Oh, right. No, this is interesting because, you know, David Mamet was very particular with his punctuation.
No, he told me once. He said, you know, you didn't do that. But well, that, I think he was kidding.
No, there was an interesting thing. In, when I was rehearsing it, he said that towards the end of the play, he said, an innocent man will be is going to have his life ruined. And he said, could you really punch through innocent man? And I said, yeah, could you actually write it in bold and underline it in your script then? Because we obey your script, but you haven't got it that way. So sometimes he comes up with different things to his script. So he will be particular with the script, and then he'd say, actually, whatever works.
If he invited me to work on one of his plays, I'd have to tell him that I don't do punctuation.
No, it would be great. Yeah, I would pay just to sit there and watch the rehearsal.
They're telling me that I have to. Is that right? I'm speaking to Jacques d'Amboise and Alex Shimizu and wonderful Eddie Izzard, who just came here so surprisingly and miraculously, and the National Dance Institute. And I'm so happy you could be here. Thanks. Up next, Lydia Bastianich and her mom are my guests. We'll talk about Queens and our favorite things to cook. This is WNYC, WNYC.org.